Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 10th day of January 2024. A number of years ago, I had the honor and privilege to attend one of the conferences, Bible conferences, held in Manhattan by Sermon Audio called the Foundation Conference, which is an annual conference they conduct. And I remember seeing the man who is my guest today preach and hearing him preach, and I was extremely edified and powerfully blessed and wonderfully edified and challenged. And I immediately said, I've got to get this brother on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as a guest. And I am speaking of none other than Dr. Steve Pettit, former president of Bob Jones University, now involved in full-time itinerant evangelism with Steve Pettit Ministries. And today we're going to be addressing the theme, combining music and the preached word in evangelism. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Steve Pettit.
Thank you, Chris. And it is it's really a privilege and an honor that we could have a conversation today. So thank you.
Well, if you could, before we get into your personal salvation testimony, which is something that we always do when we have a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, tell our listeners about Steve Pettit Ministries.
We are, just a little background, and we can get into this a little bit more later, but I was a full-time itinerant evangelist, from 1985 until 2014, and then at that time I went to be the president of Bob Jones University until this past May. So we are on the road traveling. We have a musical team. When I was in evangelism for many years, we would hold week-long, sometimes two-week meetings, actually. And because of the nature of things today, when I launched back out, I wasn't quite sure the approach I wanted to take. And so we're taking a year of evaluation as we travel and minister, but we're doing services, concerts, events, and conferences, and also producing resources in. Our focal point is really the ministry of the gospel and preaching the gospel, and I feel like that's one of the great needs of the hour, and so that's what we're doing.
Well, praise God for that, and if anybody wants to find out more information about Steve Pettit Ministries, you could visit their website. That's stevepettitministries.com, correct?
It's just stevepettit.com, just real simple, stevepettit.com.
stevepettit.com, I'm sorry. And,
yes, sir.
And that's spelt P-E-T-T-I-T, if folks are wondering.
Yes, yes, sir.
And we will repeat that information later on in the program. Well, as I already mentioned, whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony that would include the religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I'd love to hear your story.
Well, Chris, thank you. And I'm honored to be able to share the work of the Lord in my own life. I was born in a small town in South Georgia. My grandfather was a physician, and he delivered me into this world as a doctor with my mother in a little town called Quitman, Georgia. My grandfather graduated from Emory University, and as a young boy, Emory Medical School, excuse me, and as a young boy, I have memories all the way back to my kindergarten days of attending church. My grandparents were Methodists, and my father's family were Presbyterians. They were from Kentucky. My mom and dad met when my dad was in the Air Force. They were married. My father did his graduate work at the University of Georgia in agricultural economics. And at the age of 3 years old, we moved to South Carolina, where I grew up and lived all of my life. I attended church on a regular basis at a Presbyterian church in Columbia. Dad was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher. And so that was a part of my life growing up. And I have memories, many memories of being in church, traditional Presbyterian worship. But what I don't remember is I don't really remember the kind of preaching that was what I call true gospel preaching,
right,
which is preaching to bring people to a recognition of their sinfulness and the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ on the cross for our sins, his resurrection from the dead, and that salvation required a new birth, a new life, and a call to repentance and faith. And I don't have any recollection of that.
This was the PCUSA in which you were raised.
Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, of course, at the time I didn't realize it, but it was a very liberal church, liberal in the sense of denying the fundamentals of Christian faith, the inspiration of the Bible. I'm thankful for at least the foundation that I received of hearing biblical stories and celebrating the resurrection of Christ and so forth. When I was in high school, I didn't attend church very often. My family had dropped out pretty much. And so my life was centered around athletics. And I also was involved in the arts and music and drama. But I love football and soccer a whole lot more. I was a student body president I was class president in my public high school for 3 years. So I was in leadership roles. And it was around the age of 17 years old that we had a ministry come into our public school, and they would have, it was a parachurch organization, but they did have the gospel. And so I had a number of my friends who were converted. And one of them in specific, he and I had been friends ever since elementary school, and his life was radically changed. And I asked him what had happened, and he used a term I'd never heard before, and he said he had been saved. And I didn't understand what that meant. If you had asked me if I was a Christian, I would have said yes, because I was in a nominal cultural.
Right.
But there was no saving faith, no new life, new birth. And so when I saw the transformation of this fellow's life, I knew that there was something that had happened that I had never experienced. And so I asked him. And so for the first time in my life, I actually started to grasp and understand the gospel of my sinfulness, of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. The penalty of my sin would be eternal death. It was the first time in my life I really understood that I was lost. I was going to hell. But then I began to understand that Christ died on the cross for me. And suddenly it began to make sense. It started clicking. And then that God calls us to faith. And my friend asked me, would you like to become a believer? And I said, no, I'm not ready yet. And I wasn't. And, and at the course of that time, hearing the gospel for the first time, I had a sense that it would be transformational. And I wasn't ready for a transformation. I didn't want it. So from that point forward, I was 17. From that point forward, I didn't get better. I got worse. And I was the legal drinking age in the state of South Carolina. I was 18 years old in 1973 when I was a senior. And so I was involved in lifestyle of partying and alcohol and so forth. I graduated from high school and I enrolled as a freshman in college at a school in Charleston, South Carolina called the Citadel. It's a military school. And that was a pretty rude awakening to life. It was kind of like going to the Marine Corps boot camp at Parris Island. And the Citadel was notorious for its discipline. And it was I played soccer in college as well as I did in high school. And played on the varsity soccer team. And my freshman year, the only other fellow that made the varsity that year was a scholarship player from Beaufort, South Carolina, whose name was Maxie Birch. And Maxie had become a believer his senior year of high school. And so he would share the gospel with me back and forth as we would walk to the soccer practices and back. And he invited me out to some fellowship Christian athlete meetings, which I was very reluctant to go because I felt very uncomfortable being around Christians. But having said all that, there was something happening in my heart. There was a drawing sense of God working in me. And I would say over the course of my freshman year through really a lot of different events, I remember going back to my hometown of Columbia, going back and seeing people, and it was never the same. I thought, is this what life is all about? If that's what life is, meaningless, as Ecclesiastes says, it was vanity. So during the spring break weekend of 1975, as a freshman in college, I'd gone to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And on my way back home on Easter Sunday morning, I really was being drawn to want to go to church. I couldn't even explain it. I felt like I should be in church. But what I was really being drawn to is I was being drawn to the Lord. And I turned on the radio that day, and I listened to I would have listened to the local rock station, but I decided to try to find a church service, and I did. And I don't know the kind of church it was or where it was located. It was just on the radio. And the pastor preached the gospel, and he preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I came under real conviction. I thought he knew I was driving down the highway. And his words were speaking directly to my heart. And he lifted up Christ on the cross. And to be honest with you, I felt like I was sitting at the foot of the cross, that I was looking at Jesus on the cross dying for me. And then he spoke about his glorious resurrection. And I knew it was true. And over the radio, he called people to faith and repentance to accept Jesus as their Savior.
Praise
God. Driving down that highway, I prayed and I asked the Lord to save me. And I sincerely meant it. And I would look back as that was the time that I conscientiously received the Lord. I would say over the next few months, I began to sense a desire for the Word. I wasn't really much in church. I worked that summer in Columbia where I grew up, and I would listen to the local Christian radio station when it would have preaching on it. And then when it went to Christian music, I'd switch over to the rock station, and then I'd go back. But that summer, the Lord allowed me in his providence to break my ankle playing soccer, and soccer was an idol in my life. And so I went through a very painful experience, but that was what really, really got my attention. And when I went back to school that sophomore year of college, I began to seek out Christian brothers and began to go to Christian meetings. And as I obeyed the Lord, my appetites began to change. And I remember that fall, I went to a Bible study where the individual taught on the evidences of salvation from 1 John. And I remember sitting there listening carefully, and I realized that what happened to a person when they were truly converted had happened in my life. And I would say that night I gained what I would call a wonderful assurance, a full assurance of salvation of the work of God in my heart and life. And so that was my sophomore year of college. And I began to grow, and my growth came from, you know, from Christian fellowship and from friendships and from being in the Word of God.
Well, hallelujah. And
so it was wonderful.
Go ahead.
I was wonderful.
Yes, God is certainly wonderful. Now, the issue with Bob Jones University, I'm assuming that over the years that they have more, what's the word I'm looking for? They've softened any antagonism or anti-Calvinistic views to the point where it's tolerated a lot more, I'm assuming. The thing that's interesting is that even back in the days when I had friends who were theologically reformed, who were students there, they were forbidden to go to Reformed Baptist churches in the area. But at the same time, Bob Jones, I forget if it was two or three, and the school in general had a very warm relationship with Ian Paisley in the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, which is interesting because they are thoroughly Calvinistic. But can you tell us something about that, about some of the changes in that area, and at least in regard to a tolerance?
Yeah, you know, of course, I came in as a president, and I was the first non-Jones president. And so, I don't know all that was involved, you know, at varying times. I know this. We all understand that the world of technology has changed the landscape on everything. And especially in access to information. So when we consider the influence, you know, of your early writers, you know, of your Lloyd Joneses, and this is all pre John MacArthur in that, but your Lloyd Joneses and of course Charles Spurgeon and so forth, and then the writing of the proliferation of books that have been written in the last 40 or 50 years. And then what you're able to hear on the internet, you know, it flattens, if I could say it this way, it flattens one particular group being stronger over somebody else, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has access and access to information. When I came in as the president, I attended Bob Jones University. I love my education. I had incredible professors. Bob Jones has always been sort of middle of the road in a lot of positions. We call it embracing the tensions of sovereignty and responsibility and so forth. And we always had a very strong position on expository preaching. So as I've mentioned before, When you work through passages of scripture in an expositional way, whether it's Romans or Ephesians or so forth, you know, you have to deal with those texts. How do you address those things? How do you handle those things? And so, you know, you're going to have varying positions, particularly on Calvinism, but definitively believing in the complete fall of man in the garden, the absolute necessity of grace for man to come to Christ, the necessity of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our sins. There has to be a work of grace in the human heart, or the human being would never turn to God. And naturally,
right,
perceive not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness of them. So, you know, when I became the president, I took a position that there are going to be differences among good believers, and a part of our responsibility is to recognize that, and especially gospel preaching people who love Christ and they love the word. So, you know, in the upstate of South Carolina, we have some very, very conservative Presbyterian churches here, very conservative, very Bible preaching oriented. And so, and we had students come from there. And so I wanted them to be able to come to Bob Jones, get an education. And if they were of the Presbyterian persuasion, as opposed maybe to more of a Baptistic persuasion, then I felt like that was actually the history of the school from the founder's position. So in the early days, they had, you know, we had Presbyterians teaching me.
Oh, wow.
When I was a student. And so it was more what it was. It was non-denominational. But they never took a position, a reformed position. And so I just think as time has gone along, it was the right position to take with good brothers.
Amen. And when I saw you and heard you at the Foundations Conference in Manhattan, which is a conference, as I said earlier, that is conducted by Sermon Audio, and that fine ministry was founded by Stephen Lee, who orchestrates and runs and hosts the Foundations Conferences, who is a Bob Jones University graduate as well. When I saw you preach in person at that conference in Manhattan a number of years ago, I was sitting there and I was saying to myself, this brother, without question, believes in the doctrines of sovereign grace, at least in the Ordo Salutis. It seemed to me, clearly preaching that the Holy Spirit needs to do a work of regeneration before we can please God by having a saving faith. If I'm not mistaken, it seemed you were clearly teaching that. So I was wondering, how would you describe yourself today theologically?
I'm probably, because of my background, I probably am reluctant to put myself in one particular group.
Right.
I said to people, I said, here's what I believe. You can put me in a group. And maybe some people don't like that. I understand the nature of the fall. You know, we start with the fall. I mean, in understanding how man is and the need of man to be able to come to the Lord. And, you know, people have asked me, do you believe in free will? And I said, well, that's really a bad question. I said, because everybody has the will to make a choice. I said, there's no such thing as the inability to make choices. The question is not if man has a free will. The question is, does man have a good will?
Right.
And does he have a will that desires it? Is he predisposed to be obedient to God?
Right.
And the answer is absolutely not.
That's right.
So however you come at it, you have to understand that there must be a change. Man in the fall is in Adam, and in Adam also died. And man has to come into Christ in order for there to be eternal life. And man doesn't want that. So God's methodology is through the foolishness of the cross. And it is through the preaching of the cross that God draws men unto himself. And if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. So, you know, in your definitions of those acts and so forth, then you come into theological positions. But what saves a man is the uplifted Savior on a cross dying for our sins. And the attraction of the cross is in contradiction to anything any human being would ever want. Except on the cross, God demonstrates his love and he satisfies his own justice and he draws us to himself. So that's what I believe, brother.
Amen.
And I know that God has chosen through preaching, and preaching doesn't make any sense apart from a supernatural work of God in the human heart. And that work of God is effective. You know, the word draw means to literally drag. God right. is going to draw you. And so anyway, that's where I am. And I love to preach the message.
Amen. Well, tell us about this musical ensemble, because before I go to the commercial break, the first commercial break, I'm going to play one of your songs, conducted in bluegrass style. Tell us about this group that travels with Steve Pettit Ministries, as you are conducting evangelistic efforts across our nation. Tell us about this group, and if I don't even know if your group has a name yet, but let us know about those things.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll back it up. I've always had a great love for music. My wife was a soloist. And when I traveled as an itinerant evangelist for 29 years, we always carried, along with my wife singing, a musical team. And we did multiple recordings. I think we did 18 recordings over a period of 29 years. And it was used in our church services and a part of the atmosphere of the spirit of the services. This particular group we have now, when I was the president of Bob Jones, I was preaching out every Sunday. We had three musical groups that traveled with us. And one of them was a bluegrass group that I play the mandolin, which is a key instrument in the bluegrass genre.
Right.
And so we developed a musical style. No, we didn't develop it. I mean, it was bluegrass, but we kind of did kind of our own thing in the way we developed it. And we want to use appropriate means of bringing people to Christ that are biblical means. And of course, the biblical means is preaching. Preaching the word of God. But we also want to be able to build bridges and connect people to the local church. So we hold gospel concerts where people invite friends to come out and to hear the gospel. We're very clear. And so we'll do about a 45-minute to 1 hour concert. And then after that, I give a gospel message. And so these are excellent musicians. They're all young. Their ages are, they range from 20 to 24, basically.
Wow, that is young.
and I'm 68, so I'm the odd man out. but it's a wonderful ministry, and we are in churches. We do concerts during the week. We leave Friday for Florida. We will be down there for a couple of months. We're going to do a missions trip to Haiti.
Wow.
And we're going to take bluegrass to Haiti and play. So that's kind of what we've done. People today, we live in a world where, you know, we have at our fingertips the best music in the world through things like Amazon and Spotify and so forth. So we have iTunes. You can listen to the best music in the world, but there's a difference between that and going to live concerts. And we're living in a phenomenon today that people love live music. There's a girl named Taylor Swift, and she's filling up football stadiums, and it's all live music.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you capture a little bit of the attitudes of people and so we're doing what we can to encourage the local churches and evangelism, and this is one of the means of it.
And does the group have a name?
Well, we batted around the idea so many times, and it's just the Steve Pettit Band, Steve Pettit Group.
Okay, well, we're gonna hear All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, And if you want to send in a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And this song will go directly into our commercial break, and we will be back after that commercial break with more of Steve Pettit. And once again, here is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name by the Steve Pettit Band.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. They are giving us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, simply by that listener mentioning that they heard about RoyalDiadem.com on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So whether you're having something custom designed like an engagement ring, or perhaps you're turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, your denomination logo, or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up to turn into a physical piece of jewelry, they will take what's in your mind and they will turn it into a stunning, breathtaking, mind-blowing piece of jewelry. And believe me, I've seen firsthand the mastery that they have over custom designing jewelry. So whether you're doing that or just buying a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock, for instance, for Valentine's Day, or perhaps for your wedding anniversary or any other occasion that would call for a beautiful piece of jewelry, or if you're just buying something for yourself, please go to royaldiadem.com and do it soon, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits. That's royaldiadem.com, and please mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have a listener, Sheila, in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and Sheila asks, I have very eclectic taste in music, and I think that I have more liberty to listen to a wider variety of music outside of a worship service than which would be included in a corporate worship setting. There have been wars and even church splits and disfellowshipping occurring over the years over music. When do we know that a matter of music is simply a matter of taste or something that's inappropriate for a Christian to listen to or to involve in corporate worship?
Is that for me, Chris, to answer?
Yes, actually, all the questions are for you to answer.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I think that's a very, very important question. I think it's one that many Christians have asked themselves. I think living in the world today, obviously, we have accessibility to things today that people 100 years ago didn't have. They didn't have Spotify 100 years ago. They didn't have Spotify 50 years ago. And of course, recorded music is a phenomenon that came about in the 20th century. So I think anything, you know, when we come to church, we come to worship the Lord and we want to honor him. And we want our services to be in such a way that it doesn't reflect the world, that it reflects the glory of the Lord. And we want to sing about him. Now, I realize music is very cultural. If people don't think music is cultural, they haven't traveled yet. So you can go, you know, if you go to Africa, African music sounds African, and it's true to their culture, not the corruption that is in their culture, but true to the people of that culture. Music in many ways is like food or like clothing. There's cultural aspects to it. So I think every believer has to have a discerning conscience about the things that they do in their life. You know, there's the liberty of the believer, but that liberty is also a conscience matter. So I think a Christian needs to immerse themselves in the Word of God. I think they need to walk with the Lord, and I think they need to have a discernment about what they listen to. And is it edifying? Is it building them up? Is it strengthening them? So these are questions that you have to ask about a lot of what we call things in our life that maybe the Bible doesn't speak about directly. And you have to apply biblical principles. Does it build us? Does it bind us? Is it something that's puts me in a position that I surrender control to? Does it bless? So in our own personal life. So I would say you really have to walk with discernment and wisdom. If you're a parent, you have to decide what you will allow your children to listen to and what they will not listen to, because of a matter of influence. And we do live in a world today where the world is screaming at us, that the world's attracting and distracting power is very powerful. So I think we need to be wise. We need to recognize the corruption that is in the world. And at the same time, we have to recognize that God has created music, and music is a blessing to our souls.
Amen. Do you agree with the listener, Sheila, that the issue of what kind of music should be present or that Christians should listen to may change in regard to one's own private listening, entertainment, and so on, There is secular music that does not contain offensive lyrics.
Yes.
And there's a difference between that and what we would involve in our normal, regular, scheduled corporate gathering of God's people on the Lord's Day. And there are some who believe in the regulative principle of worship, and they would not want to involve things in a corporate worship that are not specifically prescribed in the New Testament. They would not want dancing going on in a worship service. They would not want a number of things going on. But I have a sympathy towards our listeners' opinion in that I think that anything that distracts from a reverent mindset toward God, and I do believe that melodies and rhythms can create moods and do create moods. And so therefore, if it's distracting one from the reverence that they should be demonstrating toward God, and also the ability to understand the lyrics of those songs that are intended to be songs of praise and worship, I think those things are key in involving the worship wars, if you will. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I would actually agree with you. I would agree with the regular principles of worship. Worship is not what we create. Worship is what God has revealed, or how to worship, because the nature of man really can't know or understand God unless he has revelation. And because whatever he thinks about God is not going to be correct. So I think in the matter of worship, I think worship should be filled. I think it should be joyful. I think it should be reverential. I think it should be humble. I think it should be completely truthful. And I think that we worship God primarily, the first and foremost, is through hearing, listening, and obeying the truth, the word of God. But singing is definitely a part of that, and that is a part of the regulative principles of worship. So I would agree with that, and I think – we should live our lives before God in all things so that we can live with a good conscience in all that we do. But as we well know, there are differences, in going home and eating a hamburger after church, and relaxing than what you would do in a church service. But in all those things, you want to live your life in obedience to God. So, the world that I've come from is very conservative in music, and that is my leanings in all things. But, I think you have to have wisdom, but I'm in agreement with where you are on that.
Yes. And I would also add that, I would, as far as the regular, corporate gathering of God's people on the Lord's Day, I think that should be dominated by congregational singing. Even if a church has traditional music, classically oriented traditional hymns and so forth, if it's dominating a worship service where you have a choir or a praise band or an orchestra doing all of that, and the congregation winds up just being spectators, I think that could be dangerous as well, even if you're using that old-fashioned music.
I agree 100%. Yeah, it's the approach. I mean, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. So, yeah, the congregational form of worship singing is the primary thing. Absolutely.
We have Smitty in Niskayuna, New York, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that city. Niskayuna. Smitty asks, have unsaved people who love the bluegrass music that you perform, to your knowledge, any of them come to Christ during one of your performances?
As far as I know, yes. I believe they have. Because most of our music is gospel oriented, almost all of it is. But they if they come to Christ, it's because they've heard the gospel is preached.
And how do you do that when you're having a do you like divide songs with gospel presentations in between, or is all the music up front and the gospel preaching at the end? How is that typically conducted?
As a it depends on the setting. It depends on the setting, but as a general rule, I preach a gospel sermon after we sing.
I see. And
so I give the gospel. Yeah.
And is all the music gospel oriented music, or do you sometimes perform secular songs that are in no way dishonoring to God, with no, you know, obviously no vulgar lyrics or anything like that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll do. It depends on the setting.
Right.
If it's clearly a concert, and that's why the people have come, then we'll do traditional bluegrass tunes, and there are a lot of wonderful songs, and we'll do fiddle tunes, which is all instrumental stuff, but most of what we do are gospel oriented. The songs that you're listening to today, two of the three songs were written by members in the group, and they came out of the Psalms. So people are saved by preaching. So that's what we do. We preach at the end of it.
Amen. And we have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who has a question that will require a quick answer, or you could always follow up when we come back from the break. But Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania says, how do you counteract or respond to critics who say that we should never use any kind of entertainment as a tool to draw the lost to salvation?
I probably would ask, well, then what are you doing? Tell me what you're doing to draw people to Christ, because evangelism is multiple things. It's building bridges, building relationships, serving people. When we consider the Lord, he ate with sinners. He attended the regular things of life that normal people live, like a wedding. Of course, his ministry was healing, and it, as well, the sick and so forth. And then, of course, his ministry was teaching and proclaiming the good news, the gospel.
In fact, could you pick up where you left off? Because we have to go to our midway break right now.
Yes, sir.
And please be patient with us, folks, because the midway break is always a little longer than the other breaks in the show. And we are going to lead into our commercial break with our second song for the day, by the Steve Pettit Band, Give Thanks. So we will be back after these messages. Do not go away.
Give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Remember all the kindness he has shown. Don't forget all the times you found him faithful, or when he was there when you felt all alone. Give thanks to the Lord who is your refuge, an ever-present help in times of need. Says, come to me, and I will give you peace. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Though the earth pass away, still his mercy will remain. Praise our mighty God, who's never known defeat. By his power, he saves his own completely. He frees the captain, and he calls the sinner clean. Heart on fire to dwell with those he bought. We will live with him forever like he promised. We will be his children. He will be our God. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Though the earth pass away, still his mercy will remain. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, for he is good. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, for he is good.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice. I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And let me heartily recommend to you a book carried by solid-ground-books.com, Prepared by Grace for Grace, The Puritans on God's Ordinary Way of Leading Sinners to Christ, by Joel Beakey with Paul Smalley. And you can get that at solid-ground-books.com. Keep in mind, folks, I want to remind you that solid-ground-books.com, as I've been saying for a number of weeks now, is experiencing a crisis in book sales, and I'm hoping that many of you in my audience come to their rescue by purchasing books. I hope that if you've never purchased books before from solid-ground-books.com, that you make your very first purchase today. And if you purchase even every month from solid-ground-books.com, I hope you make your very largest purchase ever today, if at all possible. And keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature, dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation, extending through the centuries all the way to our current day, including such modern authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Steve Pettit in our conversation today on Iron Sharpens Iron, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you really love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you please to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, you can also mail a physical check to a physical address made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And the address will also appear on the screen when you click support at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or if it's your church or parachurch ministry, or maybe it's a special event you're having, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as soon as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So go to send me an email, I should say, to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Always remember, folks, I never want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners to mail a financial gift to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you're cutting in to your regular giving to your own local church in order to do that. Please never give your own church less money than you normally give them on the Lord's Day in order to bless us. Please do not do that. Also, if you're really struggling to survive, make sure you're back on your feet and more stable financially before you send us a gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use the finances with which He has blessed us to support our church and our family. Supporting my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you really love the show and don't want us to go off the air. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live in the world, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. That may be you, too, if you're without a church home. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Dr. Steve Pettit on combining music and the preached word when we evangelize the lost. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. And Steve, can you tell us about perhaps some interesting experiences or anecdotes about things that have happened during your travels while you have been conducting these conferences and evangelistic meetings?
Yes, of course, I would love to. Just, again, a little history. I traveled for 30 years as an evangelist, plus this year. So I've got, you know, lots of experiences of people coming to the services. Our services have been for a combination of the edification of the church. So a lot of preaching on spiritual living and devoting one's life to the Lord. And then also the preaching of the gospel. You know, I've had the privilege of preaching all over the world in many places. But, you know, I remember very clearly speaking in a church, and there was a man that had come to the services, and he came every night. I think he came four or five or six nights. And I started speaking to him after service one night, and I asked him, I said, when did you become a believer? And he said, when you were speaking.
Wow.
You mean? He said, because you were preaching the gospel, and I sat there in my seat, and I said in my heart, I believe this. You know, it was like it wasn't a public show. He actually came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him as his personal Savior. So, you know, I'll share this is a bit of a testimony, Chris, but 3 years ago I was diagnosed with cancer and went through a cancer surgery. And at that time, I had read lots and lots of Spurgeon sermons and books and so forth. But I made a decision to read Spurgeon every day. And I it's almost a bit like I needed a pastor shepherd to sit next to me, you know, and share truth with me on a regular basis. So I've been reading my Bible ever since I've been a believer every day. all of my Christian experience. So this was supplement to reading the scripture. So I read through the passage. I read through the Bible, and then I have access to all of Spurgeon's sermons. So I would look at what Spurgeon, what did he preach on those particular texts? So if I'm reading through, let's say, the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, does he have any sermons from the ninth chapter of the book of Acts? Well, Spurgeon has sermons from almost every chapter in the Bible. So I would pick and choose and read. And one of the things that I've discovered in reading is that so much of his sermons were very exhortational and applicational all the way through, calling people to believe. So, you know, really my sermons are calling people to believe as you preach the gospel, as you're preaching the message of salvation. So there have been responses, you know, even over the last semester, over the fall schedule that we just had. So, God's going to bless his word. And we have to believe that. And so anyway, I hope that helps.
Yes, and we have a listener question. CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, wants to know, how does a church go about inviting your bluegrass group to perform and provide an evangelistic event?
They can go online to stevepettit.com, and there's access there to request. They can write me an email. It's online, and they can write me an email. And then what I do is I contact them back, and we have we communicate back and forth of scheduling, and you know, what are you wanting to accomplish? When can this work out? So we work through a scheduling process.
And we also have Stephen in Albany, New York, who wants to know, is there a criteria theologically for a church, school, or other organization for you to accept an invitation to have one of your events?
The church needs to believe in the fundamentals of the Christian faith, in the inspiration of the scripture, the atoning work of Christ, the salvation by grace through faith, in faith and repentance, and so forth. Most of the places that I get invited to are going to be Baptistic, Bible, gospel preaching churches. That's why they would want me to come. So, there are peculiarities about churches. There's some churches that it may not work for me to go, and I wouldn't feel comfortable over maybe some of their emphasis. But they would have to be doctrinally Bible believing, Bible practicing churches. You said it very well in the interim time of, you know, you're recommending churches. What kind of churches are you going to go to? What do you believe? So they have to be Bible-believing churches.
So, like, for instance, just to give you a hypothetical situation, let's say there is a large liberal church or even some organization that's not a church, but they're going to allow you to say anything that you want to say and sing any kind of song that you want to sing. I was just curious if you would possibly consider that for evangelistic reasons. I'll give you an example. About 2 years ago, I went to a local liberal Lutheran church in the Elkhut denomination, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, which is actually neither evangelical nor Lutheran, but that's the name of the denomination. And they had this a cappella black quartet performing old school, old time gospel songs. And I was really impressed by their lead singer in the quartet, who boldly preached the gospel in this place. It might have been the first time that these people in this liberal Lutheran church ever heard the gospel. I'm just wondering if you would ever take advantage of a situation like that.
Oh, that's a unique question. You know, I would really have to evaluate what's their reasoning. Again, you have to test why.
Right.
Test the spirits. You have to have discernment. As a general rule, I'm not going to go to a liberal church because, number one, they wouldn't invite me. Number two, I would be concerned if someone is converted, where are they going to go to church?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And how are they going to grow? Now, having said that, there are always going to be unique situations where you are put in a position or you have an opportunity to spread the gospel message in light of or in contrast to the place where you're located. So, but as a general rule, I'm going to work with people that believe the gospel, and therefore we're working to build the church of Jesus Christ. And, but, you know, there's been unusual situations, whether, you know, funeral services, unique situations where you find yourself and you're able to share the gospel. And I was able to, I attended when I went to my grandmother's funeral a number of years ago. The church was a very liberal Presbyterian church, and I was not speaking at it. The minister was very liberal, but they asked me to read scripture at my grandmother's funeral, which I, of course, did. And I read John 14, verses 1 through, I believe, 8. And I read it as strong and as believing as I could. Man came up to me afterwards. He said, "I've never heard anybody read the Bible that way in my whole life." I said, "Sir, I want you to know that from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, I believe that every word that I read was from God." So, you know, you have to use your situations. But as a general rule, we work with like-minded brothers in the Lord.
Yes, and one thing that pops in my mind that may be more of an appropriate setting for you to consider that is not openly evangelical or Christian at all, for instance, some kind of a civic center in some community where conservative Christians are not outcast and they just allow you to perform at some kind of open air meeting or something like that, where you end up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I should probably bring this up. You know, with the nature of what we do, we can be invited to genres that are not church. They're not, like you say, they're more secular environments, but they're warm hearted towards what we do. So we were invited this past fall to a place in North Carolina that is a venue for bluegrass musicians. And the lady that owns it is a professing believer. She said, "You can come in. We want you to do a concert for us, and you can say whatever you want."
Wow.
So I went in, and through the course of the evening was sharing the gospel and conversion experience and singing the music. So, yeah, there are opportunities I will get like that, too.
Okay. Let's see here. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, who asks, "Can you list some of your favorite bluegrass bands?"
Oh man, there's a whole bunch of them out there. We, you know, there's your old school, there's your more highline famous bluegrass groups that are pretty well known. You know, there you've got Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder, Del McCurry Band, Alison Krauss and Union Station. There's just so many, many of them out there. We did our recording in Nashville this week, and our producer was Andy Lefwich. Andy is a very vibrant Christian,
played the fiddle 15 years for Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder. And he's won four Grammys for his playing. And we went in the studio and we had our group there, but we supplemented some of the work that we did with some other musicians. And we had in that studio, we had five Grammy recipients playing on the recording that you're listening to. So, you know, they're pretty good. So there's so many out there, and they're at all levels, because bluegrass is bluegrass is different than a lot of music. It's a people participate in it. So if you were to go to a festival, you would see scores and scores of people carrying instruments around and playing in jam sessions and so forth. So it's really folk music. It's the music of the folks, and that's why people like it.
Well, actually, this is a question from a listener that is a great segue to what you just said. Jonah in Torrington, Connecticut wants to know, what exactly are the requirements that constitute a bluegrass song?
that's very debate. I'm gonna give a classic answer, and a classic answer is bluegrass has a certain rhythm to it, and in your classic bluegrass music, you have they're not necessarily always together, but you have a guitar, a bass, a mandolin, a banjo, and a fiddle. That's a five. Now, in some places now, add a dobro. But they create a certain rhythm. It's the bass playing along with the mandolin, and the mandolin plays the offbeat, and the guitar plays the rhythm, and it creates a basic rhythm and a chord progression. And then your banjo and your fiddle are playing a lot of melody. The banjo plays syncopated rhythm, and it just is it's a happy music sound. That's why they call it picking and grinning. it's a rhythmic style to it. So bluegrass is about timing and well timing and playing together. You have to play together in a group. And it's the music that was picked on the front porch of homes and families. A lot of the music came over from Ireland and Scotland. And it was mixed with, there was a lot of gospel music in it, gospel harmonies, harmony singing.
There's a strong similarity between Irish folk music and bluegrass.
Well, it's the roots of it. Yeah. Right. So bluegrass was formulated in the United States of America. And the father of bluegrass, a man named Bill Monroe, basically took a mixture of instrumentations and styles and formulated the music of bluegrass. And but a lot of your church harmony singings, your Irish and Scottish fiddle tunes. So it's an Americana music. It's a music it's played all over the United States. Literally, bluegrass is played all over the world. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Japanese people play bluegrass. They love it.
Huh.
And it's very, very popular in Eastern Europe, the Slavics, Czechoslovakia, Europe. We view everything from the standpoint to give glory to God to all things and use what we have for his glory and primarily for the purpose of the gospel. So that's hopefully that gives you some idea of it.
And to make our fundamentalist brethren more pleased, I don't think that there's drums in bluegrass.
There is not drums. There are not. If there are drums in it, then most bluegrass, true bluegrass musicians, they're going to look down their nose at that one.
Right.
So it works pretty well. Now, the truth is there's a rhythm to it, and the rhythm is the rhythm has an offbeat to it that's generally used in drums, but since there's no drums, it's okay.
And the bass player kind of keeps that drum beat kind of going.
Actually, the mandolin player does, because the bass plays the first and the third beat, and then the mandolin player plays the second and the fourth beat. It's that 2-4 beat is the off beat. It's the rhythm beat to it. So, but it's, you know, it's all played with good taste, and is it really is very, very musical. The musicality of it's wonderful.
We have Letitia in Wyandanch, Long Island, New York, who asks, have you received much opposition to your bluegrass music from the more fundamentalist wing of the church?
I've been in the ministry for 43 years. And the reason I say that is because, I'm pretty well familiar with all of those people that are in the fundamentalist world. I'm very familiar, and many of them I know as friends. I've always tried to do things in good taste, tasteful. So I don't get a lot of opposition. Not hostility. If it is, they just wouldn't do it, or they wouldn't be interested in doing it. Because it's not a pop style. It's not
right.
A rock style.
Right.
It's very different.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So it's really folk music is
yes.
What it is.
Well, we are going to play one more song by the Steve Pettit Band. And the title of the song is So Sweet, and that song will lead into our final commercial break. So if anybody else is interested in sending in a question, please do so very soon, because we're rapidly running out of time. Send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. And now, here is So Sweet by the Steve Pettit Band.
We have learned that the waiting is
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. much less it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Chris Arnson here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I want to thank Pastor Alan Dunn of Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, and all the fine folks there for renewing their advertising contract just very recently on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We could not exist without the financial support of fine folks like the saints at Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey. I also want to remind our listeners who have been hearing the ads for years now for the Historical Bible Society, please don't forget that that fine organization is founded by its president, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, please call them at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, no matter where you live in the United States. You can also visit their website at 1-800-NOW-HURT.com.
That is the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. Please always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also, folks, if you're a man in ministry leadership, please, if you are interested in attending the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio biannual free pastor's luncheon featuring guest speaker Dr. Joel Beakey, who has actually appeared at the same conferences on occasion as my guest today, Steve Pettit, please send me an email to register. It's absolutely free of charge. The date is Thursday, June the 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. Everything is free. Not only the food and the spiritual feast that you will hear from Dr. Beakey when he proclaims the Word of God, and the fun and the fellowship that you'll experience, but also everybody who attends will receive a heavy sack, perhaps even two heavy sacks, of free brand new books personally selected by me that have been donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. So if you're a man in ministry leadership, and keep in mind this is for men only, please send me an email to register absolutely free of charge to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in your questions to Steve Pettit before we go off the air momentarily. That is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We have Judge in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Judge asks, do you have any counsel on how we who are in the middle of worship wars and music wars in the church, to strike a balance between not being on the one extreme and anything goes kind of Christian to the other extreme of strict legalism, where we are importing our taste into the matter much more than we care to admit?
Well, I think, you know, the nature of your question almost gives an answer. It's a good question. I think God's people have to be balanced. And, you know, when I would approach the local church and the worship of the local church, I would want my music to, I'm going to err on the conservative side. That's just what I'm going to do. I want our worship to be God-centered, God-focused, where we, like has already been discussed, focusing on congregational singing as a group of God's people. I think there's going to be more liberty among the individual believers outside of the local church on personal taste and preferences, though we all have to have a good conscience and walk in a good conscience before the Lord. Any movement that's based on a reaction will always end up in an imbalanced position. Any movement based on a reaction. And I think you've given the right answers in the nature of your question. We have to seek to be balanced. And there are going to be differences among Christians. The world that I've lived in, particularly when I was at Bob Jones, there are going to be differences among Christians. Thank the Lord, we can attend a local church where we can serve God and worship with a good conscience. I love my local church. I love my pastor. I love the people of our church. And when I go there, I have a joyful and happy spirit in the Lord. So wonderful preaching. Our worship is simple. We sing unto the Lord. We love each other, and that's the focal. So, that I think it's maintaining the balance.
Yes, and even the strictest of fundamentalists have disagreements amongst themselves. I have a number of
absolutely.
I have a number of very good friends who are fundamentalist Baptists, independent.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said I have a number of friends who are independent fundamentalist Baptists. And years ago, when I worked for WMCA Radio, which is an affiliate of the Salem Media Network, which was founded by two Bob Jones University graduates, years ago, I helped to create for my fundamentalist friends pastor friends, a program called the Fundamentalist Baptist Forum. And that was hosted by a different pastor every night of the week. And so you had some disagreement amongst these fundamentalist brethren. When I would go to their meetings that were involved in, you know, talking business and giving updates on things in regard to the actual radio show, the Fundamental Baptist Forum, they would have very sharp disagreements and heated discussions and bordering on arguments over the music that they permitted to be played in this program, even though that they were all independent fundamentalists. And you'd have some arguing over the sound of the music being too country sounding and so on. And, you know, it's interesting. The definition of worldly is a lot broader than one might immediately assume, because, and I don't mean to offend any of my fundamentalist brethren, but I've been in fundamentalist Baptist churches where the music being played, and it's not offensive to me, but if you're going to use their litmus test or standard, when I hear the piano in some of these churches, it sounds exactly like the piano you would hear in a Western movie when somebody walks into the saloon. You know, so I mean, some of this is really, as the questioner said, as a part of his question, some of it involves more involves our taste than we are willing to admit, doesn't it?
I think so, no question about it. And you know, our tastes are formulated today very differently than what would have been years past, because we live in a world where we hear music all the time. It's on the television, it's on the internet, it's in our automobiles. So there's going to be a lot of differences. It's impossible not to be. Again, I think God's people have to be humble. I think they need to walk with the Lord. They need to seek the Lord. They need to give liberty to the people of God to make the right choices. Every man shall stand before the Lord and give an accounting for their own life. And then ultimately, there is nothing that we do, whether it's music or prayer or even the preaching of the word, that is going to merit any acceptance before the Lord apart from and in and through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's our Amen. Meaning.
So apart from the blood, apart from the intercession of Christ, apart from his life, anything and everything we do is of no value apart from that. So we must be humble before Christ in seeking all that we do to honor him.
Amen. And I want to remind our listeners, if you want more information about Dr. Steve Pettit and Steve Pettit Ministries, go to stevepettit.com, stevepettit.com. And Pettit is spelled P as in Peter, E, T as in Thomas, T as in Thomas, I, T as in Thomas. stevepettit.com. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Pettit, for being such a wonderful guest. I look forward to your return to the show, and I hope that God will enable me to attend one of your events at some point in the near future. I do definitely want to hear you preach again, and I want to remind all of our listeners, I never want you to forget for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.